Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one offseason move Nick Caserio made that's looking really good right now. We'll let you know what that is here on In the Loop. The fellas are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott here on a Football Friday. Figgy Fig on the other side of the glass holding things down. And you as well. Appreciate you starting your weekend with us. You can always join the conversation 713-572-4610 on the text line or get to us on the YouTube and Twitch chats as well. With it being the bye week, I know this is kind of the time of year some people will take time to do grades. I know Payne and Pendergast are doing that, grading Caserio at this point, you know, grading the coaching staff, grading the offense, defense, all that sort of stuff. Even though, of course, it's not even halfway through the season, but for example, like the NBA All-Star Game's not at the exact halfway point, and you do that first half, second half. Major League Baseball is not the exact, but you do first half, second half grades, so on and so forth. So I know people have been looking at grades, and some people are maybe down on Nick Caserio right now. You could point to C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Cam Robinson as a waste of $17 million between those two. But there's one offseason move that you do like that stands out from Caserio that so far through the first 5 weeks is looking really good.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that also, like, everything that you just said bears repeating. Like, you should preface this thing that I'm about to say with the fact that Nick Caserio definitely deserves like valid criticism for some of the offseason moves and the way, more specifically, the way that he has spent money, right? The close to $17 million that you mentioned that is essentially wasted on, what is it, three games and uninspiring play of Cam Robinson and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's just a whiff, swing and miss. Even now, the Joe Mixon thing, giving him the three-year extension and turns out maybe he only played 1 year for you and we don't know what's happening with this year. You know, that there are valid criticisms of the way that Nick Caserio has spent money in recent years or at least over the last several months or so. But the Jalen Petrie extension is one that I'm looking at as a savvy move and a smart move by Nick Caserio. And is also one that I can remember when this news broke and when we shared it on Sports Radio 610 social channels that it was – much maligned. I saw people that were critical of this move that don't really love Jalen Petrie as a player because he's kind of a tweener. It's hard to exactly pinpoint exactly what is Jalen Petrie. Is he a defensive back? Is he a linebacker? He's too small for that. You know, like what is he exactly? And is he worth giving $40 million? I think the deal was 3 years, $39 million. But to me, you're seeing from Jalen Petrie's play, at least five games through, that he's a critical part of this defense. He's a playmaker. He is hard to pinpoint on a position, right? Like, he's not really a cornerback. You don't love him matched up with a guy one-on-one. He's too small to be a linebacker, so he's not exactly that. But you do want him around the ball. You want him around the play, and you see the impact that he can have when that happens. The two interceptions that he had in the most recent game and the fact that it just seems like he's always near and around the play. The three-year, $39 million deal to Jalen Petrie is one that I think was a smart move by Nick Caserio, a good move by Nick Caserio, and also one that would have been harder for me to predict, let's say, 2 years ago when D'Amico Ryans first gets here, and it looks like it's Jalen Petrie that's kind of fallen out of favor, and it's Christian Harris that's emerging as, like, the linebacker, that other guy on the defense that it looks like is going to be a part of what they're doing long term. It's kind of flipped over the last couple of years, right? As Christian Harris gets the injury and it's hard to even notice him out there.
Yeah.
And they figured out a way to use Jalen Petrie, to utilize his strengths and more so mask his weaknesses than they ever have. So I think that was a good move by Caserio.
I'm with you on that. I remember I was in with Ron that day on the drive when the news came out, and I liked it at the time as well, and so far so good. What I do think is interesting, and so I don't want to take a positive and turn it into a negative, but that when you look at the offseason for the Texans so far, the move you highlight is just that extension for a guy that's already here. What have your thoughts been just 5 weeks in, subject to change still, but in terms of the moves, or I guess the overall offseason and some of the pieces they brought in, as we already mentioned, you know, Cam Robinson, CJ Gardner-Johnson, two of what seem to be big additions on each side of the football aren't even here anymore. Is there anything else that has stood out from the new guys that have been brought in of like, you know what, that's actually a move? Because I'll give you one just right off the top because I've already apologized here. I thought, now I'm drawing a blank. The right guy, Ed Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Ingram was one where at the time I was like, what are you doing? He got benched in Minnesota. He was been labeled that he's terrible, and he's graded right now as like the top guard in Pro Football Focus. So that's one where I raise my hand and say, actually, that was so far a good move this offseason. Credit to you, Nick Caserio. I apologize.
Yeah.
Are there others that stand out for you from this offseason?
No, that's the one that I would co-sign. I'd say that it came as a shock to me that, like, so after the first week, it sounds crazy to think that the Texans might be an Ed Ingram and a Christian Kirk away from being competitive in that game. Like, yeah. Who talks like that? Right. Who says something like that? And then it turns out, at least on the Ed Ingram front, that that's true. And it's hard to not think that they actually could have used Christian Kirk in that game, like a healthy version of him in that game. So, yeah, I look at those two as, like, sensible moves. I know the Christian Kirk thing has been kind of a slower burn than what people were hoping for and expecting. Obviously, he had an injury history coming in. But I'd also look on the defensive side, since I mentioned Christian Harris, EJ Speed, yes, as somebody that might be their answer at linebacker when Christian Harris just hasn't quite found it. Again, I'm not exactly sure what the deal is with that, why he hasn't figured it out as a player, if it's still like the lingering injury effect or what it is. And, of course, Henry Toa, I think, gives you good effort and is a fine player, but you want to have options beyond that. And so bringing in EJ Speed, Ed Ingram, certainly an underrated move, because I'm like you, and I don't know how you could have been any different with Ed Ingram, just based off of the evidence that you had. The guy, yeah, he's a second round pick who was benched, you know, in Minnesota, and you're thinking, okay, so what is that going to do for you? But certainly better than Shaq Mason, and shocked to say that that looks like their best offensive lineman at this point.
Yeah, it is. I would never have.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can let us know 713-572-4610 on your thoughts of how things from the offseason have played out so far. EJ Speed was where I was going to go next, because on the text line someone said Ingram and EJ Speed. Those, yeah, are moves so far that on the margins were pretty good. And I do agree with those, along with your original point on the Petrie extension. What are your thoughts? I know you touched on it there. Christian Harris he's played, what, 4 snaps the last 2 weeks? Was a healthy scratch this past Sunday. Do you think it's just like the injury has altered his ability? Do you think it's more just simply performance-based? Like, what? He's become a forgotten man. I don't know if he's even going to be part of the team by the end of the season at this rate. Like, what do you think exactly is what's your best theory for him?
It's the most curious case that I can think of that's not Joe Mixon related,
right?
It's the Christian Harris fall off, if you will. Like, how did that happen? And obviously you can point to the injury, but, I mean, he was back as of last year. And then you come into training camp and you're dealing with a similar thing where he's not out there, he's not involved. So you're like, okay, is he dealing with something? He's dealing with something new. It's always – and then another thing about it is it's real like a mysterious type. Every time there's a Christian Harris injury, it's real tight-lipped, not just from the team but from the Christian Harris camp. And so you never really quite know. It's hard to get a beat on what's going on. But I will say – it's that fall off that kind of contributes to this idea of the Jalen Petrie thing. Like, the, those two are related to me because they're of the same draft class, and one looked like it was going to be the guy that you were going to pay, like he was going to be the guy you would invest in. You went and hired a linebacker as your, you know, as your head coach. You figure, oh, D'Amico Ryans is going to, you know, him and Christian Harris are going to be tied at the hip, and he's going to make a star out of Christian Harris.
And he had that great game against the Browns, that pick six.
You thought so, yeah. And it's like you've seen nothing since then. You know, basically seen nothing since then. They come in and brought Aziz, and I understand it's a different linebacker spot. Aziz is a middle linebacker, and Christian Harris plays a little bit off ball and is a weak side linebacker. I get that. But now Aziz is the, you know, the leader for that group, you know, and you get Henry Toa to step up in Christian Harris's absence last year when he's hurt. And now EJ Speed looks like he's jumped him in the pecking order. It is hard to exactly pinpoint what it is, but it seems like it is some combination of both the injury slowing him down a little bit, because clearly if he was still the same guy physically, you'd figure they want to have him out there for that sideline to sideline ability.
Yeah.
They clearly don't. And then, you know, the performance part of it. Like, they're clearly not seeing enough of him when he is out there to feel like he should be out there more. So to me, the Christian Harris thing is one of the more curious cases that the Texans have roster-wise right now.
I'm with you. It's been odd. What's the one offseason move Nick Caserio made that's looking really good right now for you? As B. Scott said, for him, Jalen Petrie. On the text line, somebody else mentioned the marginal moves were cool. The draft for the offensive weapons, however.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that one with Jalen Noel, because when they drafted Jalen Noel, I'm like, man, another receiver? And I thought they were kind of loaded that receiver at that point, at that time. And now I'm like, man, that was actually pretty smart, because you're not getting what you thought you was going to get from Christian Kirk. And you got Higgins, you got Noel kind of stepping up a little bit. So I thought that was kind of a good move by getting Higgins and Noel.
Yeah, and if we're giving Nick Caserio credit too, I would say that this is now the third straight year where the draft was the best thing that he did. Right, going back to the C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson year, I think that's a pretty easy one, a no-brainer.
Yeah, right.
You know, the draft was the best thing they did. I'd even look at last year, and Kamari Lassiter, you could argue, was one of their better adds. And if you consider what Kalen Bullock was as a rookie, you know, that was one of their better adds, was getting those two guys in their defensive backfield. And then now, I think this year, if we're talking about their his best additions collectively, like I'm pointing out Jalen Petrie as like one particular move, but overall, the drafting of those guys that Ficky just mentioned, I think, is some of the best stuff that Nick Caserio has done.
And then we didn't even bring up Woody Marks.
Yeah,
Woody Marks is kind of coming around, too.
I'd throw him in there. Yeah, I'd throw the offensive weapons. I would throw in there as part of him, three consecutive years, the draft being the best thing that Nick Caserio did in the offseason.
And obviously, those are the two parts, the draft and free agency. I do think draft is more important because sometimes you get more swings at it with depending on picks compared to how much salary cap space you have or how many available options for your needs in the free agent market. But then also that's how you get that cheaper talent pool year after year. You know, it's hard, especially in the NFL, to just constantly try to fill holes or rebuild in free agency by spending money every year. It's not Major League Baseball. It's not the Yankees and the Dodgers that you could just throw money at the problems every year. So I do think that's almost, if I had a GM, if I had to pick one of their strengths, either they're really good in free agency but not so much the draft, or vice versa, I think I would take this route with Caserio and the draft. Free agency then helps, you know, supplement some of those things and get you to that next level of being a Super Bowl team. But overall, I think that's the, I wouldn't say safer, but that's the way to build the team over a longer period of time, you know, through the draft, being a good drafter.
There is still that question of, is Ariante Ursary going to be the first good offensive lineman that Nick Caserio drafts?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's drafted a few.
Yeah.
He's drafted a few. This might be the first good one. Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Fingers crossed.
Jury's still out.
Yeah. So far. But I would say promising so far. But we'll see. There's still a long way to go. I know. That's been the bugaboo. Much like, you know, even the time in the Patriots, they always struggled. I mean, they struggle more so drafting skill players.
Yeah.
And in this case for Caserio, it's been offensive linemen. On the text line, somebody said, I feel like the Christian Kirk move is going to pay off as the season progresses. Really looking forward to seeing him breaking out. And somebody else on the text line, when talking about like the premier move of the offseason for Nick Caserio, they said Woody Marks, with some other things in there that I won't say.
I do like the Woody Marks addition. That's probably an underrated one, and one that I wish they had leaned into earlier, right? Like, it took them, seems like it, that's another criticism of the staff, is like, sometimes it seems like it takes them longer than it should to recognize a player, specifically a running back. like 2 years ago, it took them too long to recognize that maybe Devin Singletary was a better option than Dameon Pierce. This year, the same thing with Woody Marks, as opposed to kind of wasting time with Dari Ogunbowale. You'd like for them to recognize maybe those things a little bit earlier.
Yeah. I kind of wish they took the running back position a little more serious, or more 2025-ish, by drafting more running backs and just kind of throwing them in there instead of just trying to look for that work cow, or that running back that could just carry the whole load. I wish they kind of throw in a little more Woody Marks, and, you know, maybe next year kind of get somebody else younger to kind of do a little run. I don't want to say running back by committee, but just kind of take it a little more serious, yeah, instead of just depending on Dameon Pierce
for
a couple years.
For an offense that claims like it wants to run the ball, they're going to have to do a little bit better at getting running backs in this building.
Maybe they get Breece Hall before the trade deadline, with those rumors out there. Right. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
Stay tuned.
That's right. Keep your fingers crossed. Coming up, it's time to get to What's Poppin', and we'll do that next right here on In the Loop.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.